Welcome to Future Creators. I'm Robert Brothett.
And I'm Francis McInerney.
Future Creators, that's future-creators.com, is a self-directed, self-paced program for C-level executives who want to scale their companies profitably in our zettabyte era. Francis is Managing Director of Future Creators, and today we're going to take a deep dive into Ericsson and some of the challenges and opportunities they face. So, let's start. Let's just kind of get a general overview of Ericsson and where they're at today, Francis.
Well, Ericsson is one of the famous old line companies in telecommunications. The company has been there for well over a century and today is responsible for building and having built some of the largest parts of the world's telecommunications networks. And it's a leading player in wireless. So when you hear the word 5G, which you will a lot today, Ericsson's a player in that space. The problem is that when you look at our future creator data, going back 20 years, that's two long decades, Robert, two decades, think about it. Ericsson's data has been absolutely awful. Their days of sales in inventories and receivables are some of the worst you can imagine. To give you an example, they have 146 days of sales in receivables, 52 in inventory. Now, if you were to look at Cisco, which also has growth problems, this is a sector where growth is hard to find right now. Cisco, on the other hand, has only 52 days of sales in receivables. So Ericsson is running three times as many. And you have to ask yourself, what's wrong with your sales operation? What's wrong with everything? I mean, do you even have the ERP to handle this? And so if you look at the days of sales in inventory, why Ericsson is running nearly five times Cisco's level. So if you ask yourself the simple question, who's gonna do better out of all this, Cisco or Ericsson? Well, Ericsson is not positioned to recover. And if you look at its operating margins, you know, 2.3% compared to Cisco, I think it's 26.5%. There's just a gigantic difference. And Ericsson, for the last 20 years, has gotten our future creators F grade. If you, by contrast, look at Cisco, since 2002, it's only missed the A grade maybe a couple of years. You know, in the great crash, dot-com crash 2001, Cisco got religion and they just changed everything and they changed their operations. They built single instance ERP, got super efficient. So yeah, this is a problem for Ericsson. And as you know, the sharks are in the tank and the private equity guys are taking pieces of Ericsson, especially its B stock. Doesn't have so much voting rights, but they're in there and they want to tear the place apart. And management's responding, well, we're going to increase profitability here, there, and somewhere else. Well, that's not the issue. On our future creators' data show, those are all the wrong places to look.
Yeah, you sent me over an article talking exactly about the board and one of the activist investors taking aim at them. So talk a little bit about some of the changes they would like to see in Ericsson and its board and its operating.
Well, I think from what we know in the financial press, the board, which is controlled by the Wallenberg family, one of Sweden's most famous, wants to do things like turn around one or two divisions. So it'll focus on this division and that division and turn those around, and hopefully that'll pretty up the profit picture. Now, the outside activist investors want to break the company up. And they think that that will solve the problem. Well, neither solves the problem. When you have 146 days of sales and receivables, and you started off 20 years ago at an absolutely appalling 100, and those days have just mounted for 20 years, unstopped, unchecked, unmanaged by anybody, your problems go very deep. I have to say that these data show me that everybody who touches Ericsson has got a problem. Whether you're an Ericsson supplier, you're supplying parts to Ericsson, you better watch out because the data are awful. Are you an Ericsson customer? You know, if you're an Ericsson customer, if you're AT&T, for example, and I think Verizon buys from them, you got issues because this company is not going to survive in its current state without monster gut reform. I mean, they've got to rip their own guts out and reform all their processes. If you're a shareholder, none of this looks good. And it shows that the people who are trying to focus on this haven't got the slightest idea of business basics. They just don't know. You get the other thing is about the poor people who work there. What are they going to do? This is not a good picture for Ericsson, and it's not a good picture either for their shareholders. So I see a bunch of folks running around trying to fix Ericsson in ways that have nothing whatever to do with the problem. They really need to focus on their future creator metrics. They need to sit down and ask themselves how you would build a future creator out of this thing. And it's not going to be pretty.
Another article you sent over talked about they had significant losses in two of their smaller units, IT and cloud and media, and this accounts for roughly a quarter of their sales. How do you suggest they address these big issues of loss?
Well, again, I think that it is likely that their future creators' data reveals enormous gaps in customer information, so that customer information comes into a company and the internal systems slow that data down and also lose that data. I see this time and time again all over the world where the systems operate in such a way as to strip out data or slow data down. The result is that you say, okay, we're going to get into this cloud thing. We're going to get into this new media thing. That'll save us. We're cool. No, it won't. As a matter of fact, any attempt to move into something new when your processes are so obsolete, let's think about the phenomenon that we've put on future-creators.com, which is managing in more time. Now, managing in more time is a concept I developed in the summer, August of 1996. So it's been around a while and it's not complicated. All it says is that if you're in tech, increasingly now if you're in anything, but in those days, if you were in tech, you had to manage in more time, time under the Moore curve. And I reasoned it pretty simply. What is a year in Moore time on the Moore curve? It's probably the half-life of a microprocessor. Okay, how long is the half-life of a microprocessor? Well, people like you and I who've been in tech for years know it's probably about 2 months. So the half-life is 2 months. So one calendar year is six more years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we have a company that has been in awful, awful position in 1997. That's 20 years times six. Now you get the scope of this problem. 20 times six is an awful long time. It's over a century. And that's the problem right there. It's great to say we're going to be in these new areas and then we're going to fix them and we're going to cut costs here and maybe we'll even drop them, even though they represent a quarter of our sales. But when you're 120 years behind your competitors in your operating procedures, you're dreaming. It's not happening. Like I said, this is going to take tearing your guts out to fix this.
You talked earlier about one of the key metrics of 146 days that Ericsson faces in their receivables. So let's dive into that. How can they attack that problem in the swiftest and most effective way possible?
Well, I suspect the most effective thing they can do is to have a complete ERP rebuild of the company.
Mm-hmm.
It is likely that the amount of customer information, the inaccuracy of forecasts, the inability to make and deliver to anything like a market-sized or market-timed schedule is impossible for them. I'll bet you if you were to go and have a look at what they do, you would find they're operating with procedures that probably most companies stopped using 40 years ago anyway. And it's those procedures and buried in them and their elimination and replacement by something effective like a good solid ERP program, a single instance global program that begins to solve problems like this. Now, it sounds simple to say, oh, we're just going to have, we're going to go to SAP and have a single instance worldwide. It's not so simple. These things are very, very complicated, and I've seen them, I've worked with them and helped people install them. You don't just walk in and say, happy SAP, happy single instance, and away we go. This takes an enormous amount of manpower. You'll also find huge functions in the company that are completely obsolete in such a way that the people who perform those functions have no future in the new company. They just don't. Their education is wrong. Their roles are wrong. Retraining them might be a monster cost and a difficult experience. And the question is, well, does the company have a policy for dealing with this? And how does that work? So you have monster, and I love to use the word monster in this case because it really is a monster, a big sea monster coming at you. Monster HR problem. So is no longer just a process, procedure, problem. It's what about our HR? How do we manage the talent? Where do we get the talent from? What do they do? Have we ever used people like this before? And the data I see show me they haven't. Their inventory days tell me that their manufacturing and supply chain is a complete mess, and they've never thought it through.
You recently, for our Future Creator subscribers and members, put together a video on them about 6 months ago. So give us a taste of some of the things that people can hear about as a subscriber in terms of the data you came up with.
They're going to hear a lot about what I've just been discussing. And, you know, it wasn't hard to take their sales reports at the time and just create a video using the data we've had for the last 20 years. That's a long time. We've had data for 20 years on this company. And create an insider look at the company, what it has to do and where it has to go. And by doing that, we are able to show clearly what it will take Ericsson to become a future creator. And in doing so, we can also prescribe for just about anybody else who's facing the same problem what it has to do, or you also have the problem of Ericsson's customers. They now have to look at our video. They've got to join Future Creators to figure out what their risks are. What is the risk to your company of Ericsson, if Ericsson's one of your suppliers? This could get ugly, especially since a lot of these telecommunications networks depend a great deal on proprietary supplier knowledge of networks and software and so on. So yeah, if you're a Verizon or you're an AT&T or you're anyone who buys from Ericsson worldwide, this is something you've got to get onto very fast. Future Creators is the place you've got to go. Otherwise, you know, you're going to have a very unpleasant talk with your shareholders.
Final question for today. You mentioned earlier in more time, really Ericsson is about 120 years behind their competitors, which is startling. Where do you see Ericsson in 5 years from now, given their current status?
Oh, you've asked a great question, Robert. This is the killer question, and it's one I see all the time. How do you, when you're 120 years behind, catch up to people who are moving ahead of you in more years at huge increments? So the more year increments that they're putting in front of you are growing and growing, and you're trying to catch up to where they are today. We did an experiment looking at some Japanese companies. Sharp was the major case in point, using exactly the same data to answer exactly the same question. And what it showed was that unchanged, Sharp, I think, would take 17 years to catch up where Apple is today, which is death. So that means that Ericsson would take, let's call it, 20 years to catch up to Cisco today. And anybody can look at what Ericsson is doing against that simple metric. And I've seen these cases over and over again and quickly discern what its future will be. For my money, this company has a very limited likelihood of survival. The kind of emergency surgery that needs to be performed, almost no one in the world understands it. Certainly, we've performed it several times successfully. but I know and have heard of no other company, no big name consultant, no one who understands even the smallest amount of this or how it works.
Great. Thanks, Francis. You've been future creating since 1976 and have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. To check out more of Francis's knowledge, don't forget to visit us at future-creators.com. Make sure that you determine outcomes and don't get run over by them. Thanks, Francis.
Thanks, Robert.